And welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, another microbrew episode. We're talking about episode 14 of Star Trek Discovery and a few other odds and ends. Before we do all that, I want to remind you all that we are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks In podcast. You'll easily find us. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And while you're there, leave us a rating and maybe even a review. We would really appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And questions, concerns, comments, and complaints can be sent to 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. All right, episode 14. Did it have a funny name?
The War Without and the War Within.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
I think it's a metaphor.
Oh, that's adorable of them. Metaphors. So yeah. What did you think of episode? I don't know how else to go on doing it. It's just like, what did you think of this episode?
Well, look, I'll be completely honest here. I got very, very bored the first 10 minutes in. And I started playing The Legend of Zelda. And so my attention was quite split between, you know, Emperor Psychopath and trying to solve this puzzle that so I didn't get my guy killed in the game. And so I didn't have much to say about it other than I found it unbelievably boring, which I think was the idea in that it was kind of a, we need a breather episode from all the nonsense with the Mirror Universe to the season finale, which is next week. And so it was trying to like a chance to get everything caught up because we're back on plotline number 5, where it's, we have the whole Klingon war thing and we had to get reacquainted with that. Because honestly, I had forgotten about it.
Yeah, I actually have very extensive notes. I didn't realize that until just now as I'm looking at them. I'm like, wow, I wrote down a lot of stuff for this. So
it's not more a not more, you know, canon stuff, is it? It's obviously the stuff is not canon wise. So
no. Not, okay. This is
because I don't know what to tell you with that stuff. I just keep shrugging.
I mean, the canon stuff just bothers me just because it's disrespectful and it's annoying. And I mean, it's also bad. If the non-canon things were also good, I wouldn't be bothered as much by them. I would still notice them. I would be like, oh, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense given everything else I've known that I've developed over the last 25 years worth of television watching. But it's interesting, so go fine. Okay, but like, it's not that. Like, it's also happens to be poor. So
what are your notes?
Did you really just shoot the fortune cookies?
Yeah.
We're going to just discharge this weapon in the middle of this room for no reason, and it's only going to destroy the fortune cookies, not go through the table.
I was just going to say that. Like, it's amazing that that stuff only blows up the tiny little bowl of fortune cookies and not, like, his desk. Or put a hole in the ship or something.
I mean, is there a fortune cookie destruction setting on the phaser that I wasn't aware of? You know.
Just tiny fruit bowl setting, you know, whatever happens to be in it is...
I mean, by the time they got to Next Generation, there were like 16 phaser settings, you know, whereas I think in the beginning there was just stun and kill. And so I guess level 2.8 is destroy bowl of fortune cookies.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. That preceded the chatty boardroom scene, which it's not unusual to have them in Star Trek. There's lots of them. But this was just like an exposition dump. It was just like, here's all this stuff that we need to know because you've been gone for 9 months, apparently.
Also, it's different now. It doesn't jive with what's gone on before.
No, like they had boardroom scenes basically in Next Gen almost every episode.
No, I know. Well, that was to do a lot of the, you know, what's everybody else doing on the ship, kind of? How can we pull this off? But, I mean, this time it was, okay, it's been 9 months, fine. But the Klingon War is now different. They're not united at all. They're all just sort of fighting amongst each other again. And That's why it's so savage now. They're trying to outdo one another for dominance. Who could really kill the most humans? Or something like that. I was like, well, I thought they were all being led by one Klingon.
Well, yeah, here they tell you that that's not true.
But why? Well, here, okay, so here's something.
That's it. They just tell you this. There's nothing else that demonstrates this fact other than the fact that somebody wrote it down and somebody else spoke it out loud.
Yeah. And because in the beginning of the show, there was the one guy who wanted to unite all the Klingons because they were all fighting.
T'Kuvma.
And he gets killed. And suddenly, the next episode, they all decide to band together, the Klingons, and start fighting a war. For no reason. Like, I'm suddenly led to believe that the 24 different houses who didn't even like this T'Kuvma guy suddenly decide we should team up. And I guess that was the whole thing. And then now we're finding out that they're apart again for no reason.
Well, you knew that there was infighting, that Laurel had been betrayed by the guy with the painted face. And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't come as a galloping shock that that's where they decided to go with it. They just told you what happened. They didn't actually get to see any of this.
Yeah, it's just confusing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, if you had actually been involved with what's going on, if they hadn't taken this detour into the mirror universe, then, you know, this plot line, which now is supposed to be important, would have been, you know, you would have known what was going on. You wouldn't be as confused.
Like, I think back to Deep Space Nine, and that if you don't want to have a two-dimensional bad guy, then you need to show us from that perspective at least a little bit.
Yeah,
because they did some of that in the beginning of the season, but they've abandoned that, you know. And we used to get behind the lines drama where there were competing motivations of characters, and they were united in certain ways, but not others. But in this one, they're just always fighting random people that have no face. Yeah. You know, it's like somebody in one of the reviews. I was like, I wish I could care if I knew there were more than 40 people in the entire galaxy.
Yeah,
I always see the same people on the bridge and 30 extras.
Yeah, they're very isolated. The show talks about really just about 40 people. That's it. I thought it was very strange that they now have this bizarre fear of the information about the mirror universe getting out, and they justify. I mean, it's reasonable to want to classify this information, like, you know, there's a whole other universe where everyone is evil and it's a dangerous place and you shouldn't want to go there. And they said, we can't let anyone know this ever happened. We're gonna classify this and then destroy it, which is ironic considering that why would you bother to classify something if you're going to destroy it? But whatever. And then their concern is that so many people have died in the current war that If the widows and widowers, or the parents of dead children, find out that there's a mirror universe out there with a live version of their lost loved one, that they would try to go there and get them.
Yeah, that's not a good justification.
No, and there are other plausible justifications for keeping that information secret to begin with, but, like, that just seemed like an odd thing to say. Like, so if you found out that there was another universe that we had access to where your dead wife was alive, but she was, you know, a tyrannical she-witch, that's not the same thing.
Yeah,
it's just such an odd thing to say. Like, oh yeah, sure, why not?
But there's also the idea that, and they do this on the show Arrow, in that they have parallel dimensions now. Don't ask me why; it's complicated. But it's a way to keep the actors from leaving the show, and that if your character gets written out or dies, they can bring the new ones in. And they're constantly having this dilemma in that, is my mirror counterpart like me in any way? Is there any good in them if they're bad, or vice versa? It's a way of, you know, looking at a mirror reflection of yourself. But that never happens in this, and or any Star Trek. It's never been that way. Yeah. The mirror universe people are different. They just look like you. They're bad. people.
Yeah, that's one of my notes too. It was that they can't seem to figure out what makes these people tick, and they're trying to sort of make this the theme of the show, you know. And they're doing it with Volk, and they're doing it with Emperor Georgiou, where it's like, who are you really? You know, are you defined by this? And, you know, is this, this, you know, is a person the sum of their experiences? And the interesting one is Tyler / Volk. That is that they're not doing it well, but like the concept of taking a person and ripping them up and turning them into somebody else and giving them that person's entire personality and memory and the whole bit. You know, do you change who that person really is? Is he Volk anymore, or is he Tyler? It's a relatively interesting bioethical question. It seems less so, though, when it comes to the Terran bad people universe folks, because they grew up with that. That's just how their society was. You know, it's there's sort of a little, you know, they haven't made a case for any sort of compatibility with regular human or, you know, Federation morals. But, you know, Tyler really has a internal quandary going on, which is going to propel that character along. Although they've all kind of decided to let bygones be bygones pretty quick there, eh?
Well, they let him around, they walk around, but they're like mad at him or something.
Yeah, they're just kind of grumpy. And then Tilly's really trusting for no reason. I mean,
yeah. I don't know what's going on with him.
Nothing.
Was there ever an Ash Tyler? I assume.
Well, they said that Ash Tyler was a guy that they found in, he was captured during the Battle of the Binary Stars, and they basically ripped his psyche out of his head somehow and stuck it onto Volk. They grafted his, you know, his soul, essentially, into Volk for the purpose of making him a sleeper agent. You know, an extraordinarily ineffective sleeper agent.
Yeah, and I'm curious why the female Klingon would do a procedure to pick one or the other, and like making sure he didn't like kill himself in the war of his own head. Why did she pick that human? Why not make him the Klingon again?
They don't tell you why or what she did even. Like, I guess she was trying to calm him because he was just
stabilize him.
Yeah, he was beside himself. I mean, maybe that was the easier thing to do. That I don't know why she decided to stabilize him as Tyler and not as Volk.
I don't know.
Doesn't really make any sense what they're doing with that character. You know, it also just seems just kind of, I don't know. I don't buy that they had a relationship. I don't, you know, him and Michael. I don't know.
It's just so unclear, like what he's supposed to be and do.
And like they had like a lover's quarrel. They had a spat. And yet it was also about killing each other. I'm like,
well, he complained to her about, like, it's because you don't like Klingons. I'm like, first of all, are you a Klingon? I don't know. Second of all, I forgot about that. So,
I mean,
everybody hates Klingons. They're at war.
Yeah. It just
seems like such a flimsy argument.
And it just seems so straightforward. Like, you are a Klingon. This is what you were. Okay, you're not really, like, to me, there is no argument about this. This is what this guy is. He is Volk. This is, you know, I mean, are we having, is this another semi-political conversation about, I don't know, the concept of identity? Is that where they're wandering into here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seemed out of nowhere, and it was hard to care because I was like, well, he's back, I guess, but now they're not happy, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and then the big thing at the end, which was really stupid, that they're taking this woman and they're making her the captain.
Okay, so I missed what happened because I honestly wasn't paying attention. Why do they put that psychopath in charge of the mission that's going to help save the war?
Oh, because we don't have the luxury of being moral anymore, and we have to make extremely poor decisions from this point forward, according to Admiral, you know, cries a lot at things.
Yeah.
Basically, they... Look, it's not a stupid idea to take a character like this who you lost in the pilot episode, and she comes back, but it's not really her, it's the evil version of her, and you now have to convince her to help you, and maybe she can change who she is on the inside, and then, you know, do a good deed, and then maybe she dies again, which is going to be hard for Michael, but she'll die redeeming herself. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's not the worst idea in the world. It's not the best, but it isn't the worst. But you don't make her the captain of the ship and pretend for all the widows and widowers who would try to go over to the other side. And I mean, like, that's what the reason that they're doing this is to keep the Mirror Universe a secret. And so they're going to make her the captain of the ship so that if anybody sees her, they won't, you know, be wise to the fact that there's a Mirror Universe out there, just in case they want to go there and find the people that they lost in the war. It's the worst. It's the worst idea ever. Because you could you could easily have this person in the show and do what she's going to do, which is to go to Kronos and help them destroy the Klingons. But, you know, you keep her on as a consultant. You know, you don't put her in charge. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
What is the plan? They're going to go into the caves of the planet and blow it up? Blow the whole planet up? Is that
no,
the point?
They're not even going to do that. They're going to, you know, jump themselves inside the planet.
Right.
The planet core. It's just all I can think of.
Planet core, which is like the center of the planet.
Because apparently, in this new retro fit, Kronos is a planet of volcanoes and has all kinds of unstable underground caverns and such that are large enough to fit their starship. Okay, so Stamets thinks he can just jump them into there, and from there, they're going to map the place, and that's going to help them attack it somehow.
Okay.
I could be missing something. It seems like I am. But they're not going to go there and, like, you know, put a photon torpedo in the middle and then beam out and then blow it up.
Or are they? Dum dum dum.
They're going to go there. It's like a reconnaissance mission. They're going to go there to gain intelligence.
No.
Unclear as to how, and then leave. But if you watch the teaser for the finale, they're walking around the planet.
Yeah.
So I don't really get it at all. And, I mean, look, it's not a bad idea to keep this character around, but to make her, you know, in charge of things, this doesn't make any sense. You know, keep her for information. Don't have her do shit. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it is stupid to have her around. She's such a one-note Johnny now.
Oh,
the first thing she does is try to shoot the first officer when she beams aboard.
Yeah, narrative-wise, it's bad. But, like, you know, in their weirdo story, you could shoehorn this stupid idea in there and make, you know, it do it better.
But, I mean, I don't also understand the fact that if you're a military organization, which Starfleet is and always has been, You, they're not like a bunch of peace-loving beatniks walking around. Like, we don't fight. Your ships have weapons and shields on them. You're a military. If you're just losing badly, it's not because you lack savagery.
Yeah.
I find that a hard sell, and I would find that a hard sell in any space show. Like, what do you only like fight every so often? You only take out the engines instead of the whole ship? I mean, I don't understand this.
Yeah, no, the whole concept of they're losing so badly and they have to make use of this resource, which they wouldn't normally do. Of course they would, you know?
What, but it's also like, what's your plan? I'd kill them all. Oh yeah, that's what we've been doing wrong all this time. Like, I don't understand how that's supposed to help you.
Yeah. It sort of makes everyone look kind of ineffectual and bizarre.
Exactly. It makes the whole thing look like we're getting our butts kicked because we don't know how to handle a fight. Like, really? That just seems like a stretch.
Yeah, no, everything about it, and like this whole idea where like the Admiral's supposed to be compromised now because she's so sad once she saw like space, like Deep Space One or Space Station One destroyed. And where
Was
was that, by the way? Like that was,
80,000 people? I was like, whoa, that's a lot of
yeah.
people.
And like they made it seem like they were right near Earth. Where are you? Like they don't give you any sense of, you know, in the old shows they didn't. Always, you know, there wasn't a map where they showed you we're here, and we, you know, it was just, you know, we're near this border, we're near that, we're near, like they always gave you some sort of, you know, location to give you an idea as to, you know, what danger might be nearby. You know, we're on the Klingon Federation border, we're near the neutral zone, we're on the Cardassian border, whatever it is, you space is so big. They did a pretty good job in those shows giving you a sense of position. Whereas in this show, you have no idea where anybody is. You know, you get a sense that like they lost 20% of their territory. Which 20%? You know, it doesn't, it's just.
Well, you know, with Deep Space Nine, at least it was the show was focused on the edge, on the border, that they were deep space. So you kind of got the idea that they were out there on the frontier and that Earth was far away. Like it
Yeah.
took a while to get there.
Yeah.
This
Days.
show doesn't have that. Not to mention they have a ship that allows them to instantly transport anywhere. So they could be any place, which makes it tough because I'm like, okay, they were just here.
Yeah.
Like they set that up in the beginning at the edge of Klingon and Federation space where the whole thing starts, and then after that, I don't know where they are.
It's very unclear. I don't know. The whole thing is dumb. Everything about it is stupid.
Yeah, I don't know what's and what's really interesting is that next year they're doing another season, but everything else is up in the air. Who's coming back? What the plot line's gonna be? Like, there's no guarantee any of these characters will be in it next season. No one. They're very hush hush about who signed on and is Jason Clarke or Jason Isaacs coming back.
Yeah, I was.
It makes it hard to be like, I don't know if I give a shit if Michael Burnham dies or not.
I'm not emotionally invested in any of these characters. They could all go for all I care. You know? I mean, yeah, I'm not. couldn't care less. You know, they haven't spent enough time really developing any of them, you know, organically. Everything is so forced.
And I mean, they haven't had any problem getting rid of them either. So it's like, well, they could die, but I'm not sure I give a shit about it.
Yeah, they could die. They might die. Some of them have died. It hasn't resonated with me at all. So, anyway. So that's it for this episode. Did you win any money last week on the Super Bowl?
No, I think I picked the Patriots.
Yeah. All right. Well, I did a pool at work where you know, you do the boxes and everything, and I had 6 and 9 for the Eagles and the Pats, so.
Hey, it was looking like they were going to win till the last 2 minutes there.
Yeah, no, it was actually I didn't actually watch the game. I went out with my wife. We had been trying to get out of the house, and we had a sitter finally. And I was like, you know what? I don't really care about football that much. I'll, you know, I turns out it was a pretty good game to watch. I actually watched it.
Yeah, it was okay.
But yeah, as these games go, sometimes they're, you know, they're crazy blowouts where they're just boring as hell. This was, you know, from what we could tell, it seemed like a pretty good one. So it's too bad I'll never get to go to Philadelphia again
Yeah, it's
since
gone
they've
now.
raised it to the ground.
Yep.
They
It's
sacked a
not
Wawa. They sacked it.
here.
My God, man. And you notice somebody pointed out in all this craziness, no one ever flips over their own car when they get this excited. It's always somebody else's car.
Oh, yeah. That's at home in the garage.
So, apparently the Philly police scanner was just like, you know, toast, like on Mission Impossible, you know, when he goes into that room, he uses like that sound meter. It was just lit up red the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah, they probably just wait until everybody tires himself out, and then they can go out and start busting skulls. You know.
Yeah. Congratulations, everybody in Philadelphia. You've earned it, apparently.
Apparently.
So, any other thoughts?
No. Black Panther is getting reviews.
Oh, gosh, is it ever. It's supposed to be the greatest film
since
ever made.
Wonder Woman. No, since Wonder Woman.
Since Wonder Woman, yeah. Christ.
We'll get to that soon.
There's no way it could be overhyped, right?
Yeah. It means a lot to a lot of people.
That's true.
But not us.
No. And you pointed out that really excellent Sonny Bunch article where he talks about how this isn't the first of anything, despite whether it's good or bad. You know, there's been a lot of people of color making movies about superheroes in Hollywood for a long time. And this might be the best produced, most expensive, best, who knows, but it's not the first of anything, so... There's
that. I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Clever. Anyway, before we get going here, I do want to remind you again that we are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Search for Three Drinks In Podcast. You'll find us. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a rating, maybe even a review. We'd really appreciate those. And on Twitter, we are at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And you can always email us at 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. As always, please drink responsibly, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Yep, take care.
Bye-bye.